They're like, put her on the chest. And he's like, well, she'll die. I said, put her on the chest, Cliff. You want her on this mission? You better put her on the fucking chest, or I swear to God, you'll never fly again. Shit. You'll be flying rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong.
Welcome to Because Nerd. It is October 2021 as we record this. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, joined today by three of my best and oldest friends, Clint.
Hey, muchacho.
Tess.
Yep, yep.
And Mike.
Hey, now.
All right, guys. Today is going to be focused on mechs, giant robots, and anything of the sort. And ultimately, we're going to lead this into the King Mech Voltron himself. But before we get there, let's just have a little bit of discussion about other honorable mentions. I can tell you mechs are one of my absolute favorite types of show, and Transformers probably had a lot to do with setting the stage for that one, which dovetailed right into when I found Robotech.
Yes.
The first time I ever saw it, I was so fucking confused because I was like, what is Jetfire doing hanging out with this dude, Rick?
Oh, no.
But it definitely turn me into a mech junkie.
I mean, okay, and I want to just, I mean, we've talked about this, I think, before, but I mean, fuck, I don't remember. So either way, does it still blow your guys' mind? Like Transformers would have guys in them, and then they would transform, and they're like, oh, shit, okay.
It looked like a ketchup packet got stepped on.
Yeah, just.
We got to dispose of another body.
Need to redesign that driver's seat.
It happened again. Let's take a moment of silence for all those brave test pilots that start in the mechs, the first, like, you know, like, hey, we got this new mech. And they're like, shit.
Yeah. So, like I said, Robotech is definitely my number one choice of all time. After that, it's a slightly different type of mech show, but Evangelion.
Still awesome.
Yeah.
Because mechs are not the most practical technology when it comes down to it. That if you're going to put them in, you really got to set a lot of stage for the story of, like, why did they decide that they needed mechs for this whole thing?
Gigantic 27,000 story robots.
Yeah.
Right.
Why the fuck?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw my third one out there just to clean up my list is Gundam.
Yep.
Specifically, I would put Gundam Wing, because just saying Gundam is kind of cheating. It's I mean, there's like 45,000 Gundam shows or something like that.
I do love the Gundam dance. That's awesome.
I think you're thinking of the wrong one, Mike.
You mean Gangnam Style?
That's the one.
I thought it was Gundam Style.
It is now.
Isn't there some kind of measurement thing, speed to size? Like, Chris, you would know this, man. Like, you're the engineer of the group, right? Like, to be able to move a giant 17-story Gundam fast would take so much energy. And, like, to people on the ground, would it look slow? Like
aliens come down, Gundam fleet surrounds them, and then it's like, the fight starts and, like, people are out there watching. They're, like, riveted at first, and then it's just really slowly punching towards the thing. And, like, people are like, right. Call me if something happens. I'm going to go back inside for a while.
This is uneventful.
So it'd be like outrunning, like, slow zombies, right? If you're a human, you're just like, well, fuck it, I'll just run away.
Yep.
That's cool.
That's another reason that Evangelion was really cool, was they kind of addressed some of that stuff, that mechs are not the most practical, because the most of the thing would have to just be a fuel pod to have enough to keep the thing running in general.
Yeah, just one big fuel tank with arms and legs. And they're like, hope we don't get shot with anything involving fire.
Clint, you seem like you've got some things thought out.
Yeah, no, I do. I'll piggyback on the Macross Robotech stuff. I failed the assignment. Instead of figuring out my top three favorite, you know, mech shows were, I just went with mechs. But one of the mechs that I chose was actually the Destroid Monster from Robotech, right? It is by far, it's the heaviest mech, or, you know, far as powerful wise goes, the heaviest mech that was ever created by the RDF. So it's got these four giant fucking naval size guns on it, right?
It's as if there's a battleship. Like, if you take a, like, whatever your image of a, like, a sea vessel battleship is, and there's massive guns that you would see on something like that, it's like, just pull that turret off and give it some legs so it can walk around instead. And that's exactly what that motherfucker is.
They can fire 8 shells from the magazine. I mean, it literally is just fucking badass. Now, it's slow as all hell, but like anytime you see a sequence in a show of that thing, like they only bring it out every now and then because it's like wildly not cost effective, right? They're right. Like, hey, we got one fucking load with this guy, but when we use it,
don't miss.
When he blows that one load, you'll know it.
It's over. He's just got to lay down.
Yeah. It's a full load.
It's a good one.
It's like me on Saturday night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a fucking good one. So, but anyway, yeah. So, but that being said, I was into obviously Voltron and Transformers started me off, and Voltron's one of my top three. And we're going to talk a lot more about that. But with Robotech, you know, with like Chris said, the Veritech fighters, right? With Jetfire. And then just when I first met all the guys, you know, that we role played with in high school, I didn't even know Robotech was a role playing game. Like, that's what got me into Robotech, really, was I knew what it was, but I had never really watched it too much. But then the role playing game got me into it. Then I dove hard. Right. So,
yeah.
Now, as far as like shows are concerned, a couple honorable mentions. One of my favorite mechs in a movie ever was in District 9 when they basically make the Prawn suit work for them. And then they just start kicking ass. Mm-hmm. It's one of the coolest fight scenes ever, but I love that mech. Honorable mention, Big O. So I loved Big O. It's one of my favorite, probably top 10. But the Mega Deuce was always the funniest name for a fucking mech I've ever seen in my life. And when I was doing some research on this too, I was looking up It's the Big Mega Deuce. There was an organic Mega Deuce.
I had one of those earlier today.
Exactly.
No.
There's fucking a Big Mega Deuce and an organic Mega Deuce, as opposed to, like, I don't know how Mega Deuce could be organic. So I'm going to go ahead and change. My third is going to be Big O because of the Mega Deuce.
Yeah. So Big O was very confusing to me because, like, they end up in a confrontation. They need their mechs, and then all of a sudden, it can just like rise out of the sewer somehow. Or I mean, it's not what they said, but that's what it seems like. It's like, I don't understand the tunnel system underneath this town for where these mechs just like come out of. That they're like, all right, cool, here we go.
And they're so big, like it's not like they can come out of a normal sewer. Like that shit's got to be like Eiffel Tower size sewer just to keep the one mech. So anyway, yeah, Voltron, Big O. The Destroid monster from the Robotech show. And then on another honorable mention was the Power Loader from Aliens. Like, if you don't think that's one of your favorite mechs of all time, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Super Duel, Power Loader and the Big Deuce.
Power Loader and the Big Deuce.
It sounds like a radio morning show.
Power Loader.
It's Power Loader and the Big Deuce.
Coming at you live. Oh, my God. Yeah.
But first, the traffic report.
Yeah, there's a giant sewer back up underground for some reason.
Oh, there's a Mega Deuce that's blocking up the sewer lines.
Oh, that's fucking perfect.
Tess, what you got?
Well, my all-time favorite is Mazinger Z. In America, it was called Transor Z.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So I really, really liked it because, of course, I was a kid and the main villain was Dr. Hell.
What the Dr. Hell is this? No, it's cool. I said doctor. Right, I said doctor. Don't worry.
Right, Mom.
It's a cartoon, Mom.
You can't be mad. You said it was okay. It's Dr. Hell. Yeah.
He's a doctor, Mom.
Yeah,
come on.
Geez.
How bad could it be?
He saves
people. She's like, I said it's Dr. H-E double hockey stick. I don't want to hear it again.
There's no second time to tell you. But they created this new element that they could only get from Mount Fuji in Japan. And believe it or not, the name of the element was Japanium.
Japanium?
You're welcome. That's real.
Yep.
That should happen.
Japanium.
I think it's even better because, like, it has the word panty in it, which is just, like, even meta-level Japan anime style. Like, I mean, that's top-notch. That's right there.
There are movies. about Japanium, isn't it? Like, I think I've seen them.
I think there's a different word for that.
Well, they have vending machines with Japanium in them, and you can, they're, like, dirty. All the girls can, like, sell them, and you can get them.
Most countries, they're banned, though.
Comes with smell-o-vision?
Wait. Oh, no. Back up.
My bad. Too far.
Let me
reel it back in.
Japanium.
Japanium.
Oh my god.
Second in my list is Mobile Suit Gundam, because Gundam.
Fuck yeah.
And last but not least is Bubblegum Crisis, which had some badass fucking suits, and they were all fucking chicks, and of course, like, having a vagina, they destroyed people's lives, and just for you, Mike, they rode motorcycles.
Oh, okay, that's my new favorite, even though I've never heard of them before.
Yeah, that is really
they're
fucking
all on motorcycles.
Cool.
They're badass chicks on motorcycles. And I want to give my honorable mention out to the Mighty Orbots. I feel very bad for you, because you were Voltron, you came out at the same time as Voltron, but you failed and only got 13 episodes.
Yep. Just like the GoBots. It was it was a race to the finish line, and they just didn't make it.
The go-away bots?
Yeah. The go-away bots.
Okay. They were robots.
Weren't they all, though? Like, aren't they all mighty robots? I mean, at least they say they are. Name a robot that wasn't mighty that was, like, huge and giant.
Hold on, everybody. I know I may be a big robot, but give me a moment here. I need a second.
I gotta get my glasses. Hold on.
Excuse me.
Excuse me, please.
I'm not one of the mighty robots like the rest of them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Well, if there was ever a segue into Mike's favorite, what you got, Mike?
Well, okay, so I don't know shit about anime, so I just have to admit that now. I'm going to lose some nerd cred. But so I had to go back to my first thing that I thought was like anime. Even though it's not a show, it was a toy. It's the Micronauts.
Oh, right on.
Micronauts. Do you remember the Micronauts?
As a matter of fact.
They were cool, cheap, and they were tiny. I'm assuming that they were not that super of
They
mechs.
Were tiny mechs. Little bitty mechs.
I mean, it says micro in the name.
Right.
Some girls are into that.
Right. Nice. The most ineffective mech team in the history of mech teams are like, we need a small team, a little bitty team. We got to get in there and infiltrate, really small stuff. Call them Micronauts.
They're not that useful, but there could be specific times when they,
Colonoscopies.
Dude,
yeah, there you go.
I saw Magic School Bus. The Micronauts can do a lot, bro.
Yeah. Call them the Micronauts.
Close your orifices.
Hey, you know what? Hey, actually, this is right along the lines, man. Do you guys remember one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid was Inner Space with Dennis Quaid?
Yes.
Yeah, they shrink down to go into the person's body and everything.
Yeah. They have a mech. So he has a little spaceship that kind of turns into a mech, has arms and stuff, and they shrink him down. And at the end, there's a fight scene with the bad guys in their own mech, and they're having a mech fight inside somebody's body. Like, that's actually pretty fucking accurate to what we're talking about.
Those are Micronauts.
I changed my mind. That was my favorite fucking mech movie of all time. Inner Space.
Yes. You won the day, Mike.
He's not even done. What are your other two?
Right.
Okay, mech movies. So again, I was going to say this one. It's not a cartoon, but for mech movie, Pacific Rim.
Yes, ooh. I forgot about it. Damn, you're
awesome. The funny thing about that is why the fuck did they have two pilots in there that had to be like in mental sync? Like,
well, they had a reason in the show. I mean, we don't have to speculate. They described it.
Well, I know. Even the clear description that they had was like,
it was
why?
Stupid as fuck.
Still.
You can't do it alone.
Your mental capabilities are not sufficient enough. You're, like, it's going to overload your system and you're going to lose your mind, man. You're going to have someone to share that burden with.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
That's right.
How else are we going to have, the team, man? You can't do it. There's got to be a guy at the end that does it on his own and almost dies.
I don't know. I think Cocaine Jim might have been in that writing room.
Don't act like that's the most questionable reason for why mechs are necessary in a story. That is by far not the closest part of what the concern is.
Yeah, okay.
No, by that logic, two is better than one, three is better than two, four is better than three, right? So why wouldn't they make a mech that has like 17 people piloting it?
Yeah, that's what we're getting to. Come on.
Exactly. See what I did there?
Yeah, we're going to find out why
in just a minute.
Go ahead, Mike.
My third one, and I'm probably going to say the name wrong, was Transformers. It's Soundwave, right? Soundwave is the useless ghetto blaster?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know where you live, dude. I will fucking burn your house down, Mike. It'll happen.
Completely useless, but at least we can rock out. And
Hey, no. There were many episodes where like the Autobots needed some music, and they were like, distract him. And he was like, all right. And then he played some music and danced to it.
Mike, you're definitely showing your inexperience, because let me tell you, if there's anything that a Transformer doesn't like, it's rock and roll music.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, unless
they hate it,
unless he happens to already be a boombox himself, or mm-hmm. Or was voiced by a black guy, Like, that's the exactly. The only
exactly
the only reason.
Dude, the Autobots won many of fights when they were like, the Decepticons showed up were like, ah, oh, turn this shit off. And they ran away and they were like, we win. Cool.
They lose their mind. They're like, turn it off. I can't think. Mm-hmm. I can't think.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even out. Knocking on Soundwave right this second. I'm just going to tell you, he just put Ravage in there and turned it up.
What? Yeah. It's just really fucking loud. That's all. That's his fucking power, is he's really loud and annoying. So they're like, well.
Makes me love him even more.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
So that was the lamest list of favorite mechs that you'll ever hear.
Well, Transformer isn't even really a mech, so you don't even get that one. So
I'm going to give it to you, Mike. Listen to this guy. He's just mad about Samwise. He'll be all right.
There were mechs. I mean, Daniel had a mech suit. I mean, because, of course, yeah. They're like, how do we keep this human child with them? Oh, in outer space. Oh, he just get him a mech suit. That's cool. And then the headmasters and shit. Whatever.
Well, the premise for some of those shows were ridiculous because it's like, they've created this robot that's going to protect the world. And for some reason, like a 5-year-old kid also hangs out with him. So like, it's like, oh my God, a national tragedy is going on and we're being attacked and we got to do all this shit. And it's like, okay, let's get that 5-year-old kid to jump on that robot's shoulder and go solve that problem. Then here we go.
He's like, fuck you guys. I'm taking my robot and going home.
Right. You know, every now and then he'd fight the bad guy and kill him. But then he would also turn around and like smash his entire school into bits and kill all the teachers. So it was a toss up. Either the world dies or his school goes. And, you know,
it is.
You got to make that choice.
It is risky. In the show, and generally, the kid would be very well-mannered and pretty even-headed and things like that. I have children. That is not the way that I tend to know them to be.
So. Yes, lies.
Dude, if that was true and I was like, damn it, guys, look, you know, you got a C in math, you got a D in whatever, give me your cell phones, go to your room, like, you're not allowed to get out of that mech. Get out of the mech. I swear to God, if you don't get out of that mech, okay, please don't kill me. You can have your phone back.
Yeah, see, my kid would just blow the school up and be like, it's cool, Mom, I'm taking care of those bad grades right,
right
now.
Right. Who needs grades when I've got a giant mech? You
know? Yeah. I don't even need math. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we might as well move on into the main event.
Oh, yeah.
From days long ago, from local Toyotathon events across the universe comes the legend of Voltron, Defender of the Universe. A mighty robot loved by humans, feared by the peaceful race of the Drool Empire. Seriously, Drool really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, their planet was literally dying. Made of an unholy amalgamation of Ford Broncos, Toyota Land Cruisers, toaster ovens, rotorless helicopters, flashlights, butthole of a dustbuster, penises, and... As Voltron's legend grew, an alliance was forced with the other planets of their solar system, who maintained that Voltron really is a good guy and just had a bad day at work. They spread peace throughout the universe until a new, guys, illegal menace threatened the galaxy, bringing drugs and crime to your planet. Really, guys? This is the legend of Voltron. Actively interlock. Connect Dinotherms. And come on out and see us for this one-time extraordinary Toyotathon event this weekend only at Allura Toyota. Tell them Voltron sent you.
It's time to talk about a mighty robot, loved by good and feared by evil.
Oh, come on. I want to keep singing the song.
just talking about the intro, I love where it's like loved by good and feared by evil. I'm like, that's pretty subjective. I mean,
yes.
It really depends on who's got control over it at the time.
Right, like, right. And you can't just say loved by good. It's like, man, we're all good, but I don't fucking, you may not love it. I mean, you can't just assume that we're going to love a giant, you know, cat robot just because us nerds do doesn't mean my dad does.
That's right.
That's why they made the cars.
That's why they made cars. It's the boomer Voltron.
Exactly. Like,
you know what? I cannot, no matter what, connect with my son on this goddamn cat robot thing. Now, if they just made it out of like 4 or 5 minivans, a jet, helicopter, shit that I know about, nah, you know? Then I can maybe talk to them. And then they were like, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, except for that they didn't do like 60s Corvettes and Mustangs and shit like that. They were like,
no, they did like the Dodge Caravan. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not even that. Like, some of these things aren't even fucking, I don't even know what they are. They're so far from a vehicle. You're just like, that's a toaster. What the fuck is a toaster? And why is Cliff driving it? And it's a toaster number 11. It's, oh my God.
So what would someone like to start with? There's many different avenues that we can head down to discuss this.
Voltron was by far one of my favorite mech shows of all time. Still is. I've been psyched to talk about this because I did not put a lot of thought into some of the stuff I'm going to bring up today until we started talking about this episode. So going back and kind of analyzing it, I'm like, holy shit, there's so many fucking plot holes in this thing. It's so crazy.
It is. Yeah.
I would say for the uninitiated, you know, we should probably give a little background on what Voltron is. So for millennia, the Gaia Empire has plagued the universe by destroying other civilizations and enslaving various races, right? That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
The only known threat strong enough against the Empire's power and plans is the legendary defender of the universe, Voltron, composed of 5 lion robots, a 328-foot tall. That's a very obscure, odd number to come up with.
He's real self-conscious about it, too. He wanted to be
330.
Yeah, at least. He tries to get on his tiptoes sometimes.
They're like, he had to be this tall to fucking fight Robies. And he was like, damn it, I'm only 2 feet away. But 320-foot tall. Pilots are known as paladins. At the crux of the war, King Alphor separated Voltron to protect it from falling into the evil King Gowron's hands. So Voltron was initially just one big robot. There were no 5 different robots, which in itself is kind of weird. Like, I could see if there were 5 lions that they put together to form Voltron. That makes sense. But apparently it was just one giant robot lion that got split apart.
Hagar.
Yeah.
Hagar is like a whole conundrum there alone. Like, this one person who has godlike powers over giant robot things. Like, she can break Voltron into pieces. She's the one who powers the Robeast to keep sending shit out after Voltron. Like, I don't understand. I mean, where she came upon these abilities and how all of them are so dependent on her. Like, train a couple other people to do this thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
What was so good about Hagar?
Right, because, like, as we all know, evil people are so greedy. And so for her, it was probably like, well, I could train other people, but then I'm not the baddest, you know, swinging dick on the block or whatever. So, like, I want to be the only one. But then it's just like takes up all your time because you're constantly like, God damn it, I got to do another Robeast. Like, I'm trying to take a vacation here and I can't because I got to make this Robeast happen.
Yeah.
Right.
So check this out, right? So he basically bonded the 5 lions' energies to his daughter Allura's life force and sent them across the universe to different locations until the time for the next generation of paladins.
That king never heard, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
No, he didn't.
Well, that's why they scattered them across the universe, except for by scattered them across the universe, they meant on planet Aris. Because that's where they all are.
Well, actually, that's not true. That's not true either. I mean, it is, but it's not.
Right.
And that's basically all of it. And then eventually the Empire's path to conquest kind of took over. They're fucking everything up. They got to Earth's solar system. And then that's where they found a group of space pilots that happened to all be on Earth, you know, apparently knew how to fly the robots and ended up taking over and fighting everything. So I think it was awesome. It had a lot of really cool shit with it. Didn't make any sense now that I'm looking back at it, though. Now that I'm looking at the synopsis.
I understand this less now than I did before we started talking about it.
That's probably fair.
Yeah. So a little backstory on what a paladin actually is. So the paladins, the drivers of Voltron, are an order of warriors who serve as the pilots of Voltron. In ages past, the paladins were of other alien races. They lived in the Castle of Lions 10,000 years after Alphor hid the lions on different planets, per that, not on Earth, on different planets. All across the universe, the lions chose new paladins, and 5 humans from Earth were eventually chosen. So the 5 lions chose 5 people on Earth, which to me is like, you could have got the entire universe of people, and you found fucking 5 dudes on Earth. Like, how did it pick the 5 fucking people? It doesn't make any sense why that would be superior over any other race in the universe.
I think that's just propaganda, because, I mean, it's just a robot. Like, I mean, I thought it was always funny when they would act like the robot was like as if it had a feeling about something, or it's like, oh, it seems to not want to do this or whatever. And I'm like, it's a robot, dude. Like, it needs a pilot. It is not a sentient thing.
It's not sentient, but it has a soul.
Well, allow me to retort. So you're wrong, actually, Chris. Let me tell you why. The requirements of a pilot of Voltron. In order to be a paladin of Voltron, one must be chosen by one of the lions as a compatible partner. So the lion chooses you. The lions choose their pilots by seeking warriors that embody their spirit. The black lion requires someone charismatic and heroic, a natural leader, whom others will follow without hesitation. The red lion requires someone hot-headed and stubborn. Okay, they require somebody hot-headed and stubborn who relies more on instinct than skill alone, but who still accepts the black lion's paladin as leader. That's very fucking specific. Prioritizing the good of the team over their own glory. Like, that's a resume. Okay, the green lion requires someone intelligent and curious, observant of and fascinated by the world around them, and is never afraid of the unknown.
No, that was not Pidge. That's lost.
You got the blue lion requires someone free-spirited and empty-minded, but who also has an unrealized potential for greatness. Like, how fucking specific is that? Like, it's got to be somebody empty-minded, has an unrealized potential for greatness.
Someone shows up and they're like, do you feel like you're really exceptional at this? And they're like, not really.
Not
and, they're like whispering, they're like, he actually's pretty good, though. He's like, do you really believe that you're not that good? Yeah, I don't know. I never really felt like I was special.
He really is, though. Like,
that's the one.
We found
one. The green lion pilot.
Get that guy. Pull him down.
Right. Yeah. Well, the last one, too. Now, the yellow lion requires somebody earnest and strong-willed, someone who believes that true strength is achieved through love and unity.
You know, what the color yellow is always known for.
Or mustard.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it just seemed oddly fucking specific as to how it chose these people.
That's, again, I think it's all propaganda. I think this is just a story that the government puts out to try to cover up the atrocities that follow whenever Voltron gets into a confrontation and all of the destruction there. It's just stories just to keep the people happy with who their defender is.
Realistically, they're like, we'll take anybody.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit. Just call, say he's free-willed and open-minded. I don't give a fuck. We need somebody to pilot this line. All right. So back to Voltron, right? So one of the first things when I looked it up here and kind of started thinking about Voltron was the first time Voltron ever forms, Princess Allura's like, we got to get them to form Voltron. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, let's hope they still respond, right? So when he says that, he then turns around to them and says, all right, let's hope this responds. Each of you will take an elevator to a lion. Let's hope this works. Let's hope this works. So these five assholes from Earth were like, all right, guys, we're a little sketchy on this, but okay, I'm with you so far. There's five lions. Okay, I have a lot of heart. He has a lot of fucking empty-mindedness. He's a hot-headed guy. Like, he's cool, but he doesn't quite get it yet. He's not quite there, but he will be in the future.
Right.
What's the compensation for these paladins? Why do they go do it?
Because they get a lion.
Okay.
It's love. It's really just love and acceptance.
Well, they were imprisoned by our bad guys.
They were prisoners.
Yeah, and then they and then they broke out. And I mean, I think at this point, just anything's better than whatever they were doing. So.
Dude, it's a fucking lion. You get a lion. I didn't have to be in prison to know I want a big ass mech lion.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'd probably join up too.
Yeah, that's a lot of trust on the king, though, because they're like, hey, there's these five convicts that, I mean, I think they were good guys and the bad guys had them, but let's give them these giant lions. And they're like, yeah, give us those lions. It'll be cool.
One of the requirements is avarice, and one of the requirements is vapidness, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
King didn't give a fuck.
King didn't give a shit. He rolled some dice. He was like, well, fuck it. I don't know. Get that one. That guy over there.
They can't all be 20s. Got to take those ones, too.
Exactly. We're about to die from a Robeast. I don't give a fuck. Give that guy a lion.
He's like, look, we're almost dead. And I mean, I'll just take a warm body. These people showed up. Put them in.
Right. Exactly. He's like, if I could put one of those fucking mice in there, I'd fucking put a mouse in there. I don't give a shit, man.
He's like, look, I hope this works. I mean, the last five teams that went through it didn't work out so well. So good luck, guys. See you next time.
Hope it works. Well, put yourself in their position, right? So, like, you're standing around, got to take these lines, right? And they're like, okay, there's an elevator shaft right over there. There's five elevator shafts. Each one has no other nomenclature on it except for a number from 1 to 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first off, like, you know, Pidge, green line, you know, Hunk, yellow line. He's like, all right, which one's my elevator? And they're like, 3? Go for 3. And he's like, well, wait, is it yellow? Nope. It's just number 3. Go ahead and get there. So they run over to these elevator shafts, right? Nobody tells them what number they are. No colors, no pictures, right? No intercom to voice like, hey, take the right door. Once they get to that door, they have to grab a zip line that shoots them down a giant tunnel, and it literally like spins them out of control for the first couple seconds. And they gotta just hold on.
You really think that Hunk was able to hold on to that thing for the entire
time? He didn't even get the zip line. He ran in the elevator and then he fucking went to grab it but missed it and just plummeted down the elevator shaft. He didn't even touch it.
You say plummet, I say friction.
Or that. Or he barely fit and it was like all the way down.
That's so, my mind. Big kid
I think
on the
that is pretty
slide.
Accurate. Exactly. So, exactly.
Someone get the Crisco.
Princess, like, they get there and Voltron is formed, but there's no leg, and they're like, "Where the fuck is Hunk?" And they're like, "He's still stuck in the elevator shaft.
I'm stuck back here in the elevator shaft. Someone come get me."
And we all know he likes to eat, so he was like, "I had a big breakfast. Ah, fuck me. I can't get in the hole."
As he's munching a sandwich while he's trapped in the fucking elevator shaft.
We're in a castle. I fucking indulged a little bit on the buffet. What can I say?
It's free fucking food. I'm about to go to my goddamn death. I wanted to have a meal before I fucking die.
You're telling me you don't even know if this is going to fucking work. I don't know if I'm having my last meal.
I'm going to die fucking not starving.
Who wants to die hungry?
So, oh my God. So they get on a zip line. It takes them to their line, but it doesn't really go to the line yet, right? So then as they're going down, it then takes them to a chair. And at the end of the zip line, there's still about a 15 or 20 foot drop to this chair they got to get in. They just let go and fall into the chair. So just between the zip line and the chair they had to get into, how many paladins died or like broke a leg or a neck, right? So
there's just bodies like off to the side. Like
there's like 10 bodies around the chair. And like as they're coming down, they're like, "Oh shit, I don't like the look at this." And Hunk's like, "Oh, I'm fucking dead. I'm so dead. I'm not even going to make it." And then so they get to the bottom of the zip line. They let go. They fall and it takes them to a chair. Now the chair, it incorporates into like a little spaceship, space shuttle, and then takes them to their line, which could be fucking anywhere.
They're like, "A Robeast is attacking. All right, well, kick back, because it's going to be a minute while I fucking head down through the lava pit.
I'll be there when I get there."
So
yeah, could be 5 minutes, could be 20 days. We don't know. I mean, we'll get there when we fucking get there.
Don't form anything without me, guys.
Oh, my God, dude. This isn't even at the lion yet, right? So once they get to their lion, a fucking slide literally drops down about 150 feet because these lions are the size of a building, right? So a giant slide comes down out of the lion's asshole, grabs their chair, and then drags them back up into the cloaca or whatever the fuck the word is.
Did you say cloaca? Can we just talk about this cloaca comment that you dropped?
Lions have cloacas. Don't they? Oh my God.
Ready.
Yeah, I don't even know what a cloaca is. I just know it's like on a duck or something. Don't ducks have cloacas?
Oh, shit.
No fucking clue. No clue. So we're going to say lions have cloacas, right? So they get sucked into the lion's asshole. And then this is where the cool part starts, right? Like, this is the best part. So there's a lion in an ocean. There's a lion in a fucking volcano.
Sad to be that person.
Right.
You're like riding through your chair. Like, I'm heading to a lion. Like, where's all this lava? Like, this is not good.
Yeah. It's like so hot as they're in their ship, right? Like, whoever the fucking red line is.
Lance. It's Lance.
He's like he's in his little spaceship in the tunnel and he's like, "It's fucking hot in here. Jesus Christ. Man, is the AC broken in this thing?" And it gets hotter and hotter when he pulls up to the lion, like the canopy opens and he's just cooked and dead, like smoldering in it. And they were like, "Ah, oh, fuck. Ah, oh, shit. He's not fireproof. Fuck."
He's just like charred leather skin. Like, it's just.
Pulls him up into the lion. So like they all go to form Voltron and they're like, "Lance, form the arm," and it's just the lion with a dead corpse in it smoking.
Yeah, but he's been dead for like 4 days now because he's just the closest one to it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. He's dead and charred. The blue lion, like, it takes him through water, he drowns, and he's just a bloated corpse in the lion. Like, they're all dead from wherever they were in their line. Oh my God. What's crazy is the green lion is like, they had to incorporate a tree or plant somehow.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally in a dead fallen like oak tree just in the middle of this like forest or whatever. So like whoever wanted to hide the green lion at that point, he was like, "Fuck it, put it in a dead log. I don't give a shit if somebody sees it. Like, this one's in a volcano, he's protected. This one's at the bottom of the ocean, he's protected. This one's in a log in the middle of the forest." And then one of the lions is in a in a desert in a pyramid.
Yes.
Right? So there's like literally a pyramid, which is like, I can kind of get that. But the last one is in a mud hut.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it. When they got to hiding those two lions, they just didn't give a fuck anymore.
They're like, look, we looked around for a lot of places. there's a lot of weird criteria that it goes into. You have to meet. These lions get all temperamental and shit, and they won't accept drivers if you don't put them in the right environment. So I don't know. This is the best we could find.
That's all we got. What's crazy, too, is like they were trying to hide them, right? Like the whole point is to hide them in places where bad guys can't get them. And the whole show is about not letting the bad guys get Voltron. Well, the one pyramid that the yellow lion's in is shaped like a Voltron lion. It's literally a pyramid Voltron lion with a lion in it. And it brings back to, I went back and watched the Rick and Morty Voltron episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so funny when Rick or Morty's tries to get out. It's in a parking garage dug downtown, and he's trying to get out of the parking garage.
I love that they make the joke where he's like, did I just take a zip line through the middle of the earth to Hawaii just to then have to come back here? He's like, shut up, Jerry. Just come on. Let's do this.
I fucking laughed, dude. I never saw that. And like in preparation for this, I watched that Rick and Morty and I was dying laughing. It was so good. It was awesome. So anyway, so there you go. So, right. So that's just the start of them getting to their lines. There's so many fucking holes, right? So,
okay. So you've taken like 20 minutes just to talk about how they get to the damn thing. So I gotta,
we gotta
get onto this thing here. So
I haven't even fought a bad guy yet.
I haven't even formed a Voltron yet, sir. We're just in the damn lines.
Exactly.
So one of the main reasons that got us thinking about wanting to talk about this in the first place was the formation scene of Voltron.
Yes.
And the questionable line of interlock engage, which just to be clear, if anyone doesn't know, interlock is also a term for an ignition interlock device, i.e. a breathalyzer device that will not let your car start.
Yes. I know that term.
and so it really sounds like someone had a DUI incident with a Voltron, and they were like, we need to make sure that no one's drunk driving Voltron anymore at this point.
They're like, look, it took us a long time to find these fucking paladins, and if he gets another DUI without the interlock, we're fucked. So make sure you put that interlock in fucking Voltron, right?
It makes it all make so much sense. Why does Vin get it before Allura? Allura couldn't blow on the fucking thing. She's like, sorry.
Allura was a fucking drunk, and she got, like, she was on her third fucking DUI. It was terrible.
I'm thinking Chunk and the Blue One, they get the first DUIs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Chunk in the Blue One.
It's fitting, but I mean,
it's more fitting than Hunk. Hunk is worse. Chunk is way better.
Chunk.
He does the truffle shuffle and then he gets a DUI. Oh my God. Oh, it's God. Pitches of power. Okay, so then we got him. It's the other one. It's all the Goonies. So the Goonies now fly
Never
Voltron.
Say die.
It's fucking awesome. We got Thanos. He's the Black Lion, right? I forget his name in the movie, but Josh Brolin.
Right.
We got
right.
Chunk is the Yellow Lion.
Right.
Who is the nerdy one? What's his name? The little nerdy one.
You know, don't have to watch Goonies before this.
95 different racist names. It's not Tattoo. It's not.
It's something like that. Oh my God, dude.
It's not Short Round. Man, what is his fucking name? Sure. Dude.
All I remember is Pitches of Power. And I'm like, oh, Pitches of Power.
You can't blame me. Every fucking Asian kid name of the 80s and 90s was the most racist shit you could possibly
say. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I'm just 100%. Spitting out what they gave me.
Yep.
Data. The motherfucker's name is Data. Okay, I'm better.
Data. There you go. Data. God, that's horrible. He's because he's good at math. That's
exactly.
Fucking terrible.
That's not my fault.
Jesus fucking Christ. Voltron Goonies is like, we need a shirt of like, we need to incorporate Voltron in the Goonies somehow and then make that happen. Oh my God.
I like it.
Awesome. That could be done.
Maybe it's the pirate ship. Like maybe it's pirate ship Voltron because that's where they find the gold.
Ooh, yeah.
Or something, you know?
And then they're going to have to fight like a giant octopus, squid, robeast.
Yep, exactly, exactly. But who could, well, fuck, hey, you guys, baby Ruth, what was his name?
Sloth.
Sloth, yeah.
Sloth. Would Sloth be like the mouse?
Here are your options, Sloth. Mouse or Robear? You tell me what's going to be worse.
Robear? Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. No, man, like, it was a poor choice of words, I think, when they created the scene with the interlock.
If I had to peg it on someone, I thought it was Keith that got the...
Yeah.
I mean, if... That's maybe I'm just stereotyping here, and I mean, clearly I am. But
Keith
the whole goddamn show is, so stereotype away.
I mean,
yeah.
But Keith is your typical frat boy. Like, I just imagine that, you know, he got the DUI, his dad's a judge, he got him out of the whole thing, got him into the Voltron Force, but still they were like, well, you got to put the interlock system on it, though. We got to make sure that Keith doesn't, like...
Keith and Lance. I thought Lance, because Lance is the hothead, right? So, like, right. Lance would be the bro that gets in a fight at the bar, you know, and he's like, oh, you want some, bro? You want some? Form fucking Voltron. And then he goes out and gets in his little thing, gets you his Red Lion, and he comes back and he's drunk as fuck and the cops pull him over. You fucking wait, bro.
You just wait till tomorrow.
When I get this thing started, you're fucking dead.
Pitch, come over and blow on this. Pitch, come over and blow on this.
Exactly, dude. But Pitch can't come fucking... blowing it for him because Pitch is blowing it on for fucking Keith. That's why they wouldn't let Keith have the Black Lion. And day one, they were like, nah, bro, you're going to need this little guy back here. He didn't even know what liquor is.
Exactly.
He's gonna start this shit up for you.
I mean, it really looks like it could be an interlock on your car and that you couldn't get it started.
I can't see it the same anymore.
What would even be more awesome is the real interlock that you get in the real world. Pay a few extra bucks, you get a custom one that has like Voltron, you know, graphics and things on it.
That would be rad.
That would be
at least it'd be
amazing.
Cool. Like, also, I'd be bummed. I'd be like, oh, goddamn it, I got a DUI, I got to get this interlock, and then I could drop my car off. Because I know somebody in my family who got it, and they dropped their car off and, like, 2 days later got it back. But, like, when he got it back, if it was the interlock from Voltron, I'd be like, fuck yeah! I'm keeping this on my car. This is cool.
Every time you get in your car, you're about to turn it on, and you're like, oh, yeah, hold on. Interlock engaged. Dynatherms.
Interlock engaged. Dynatherms to power.
Dynatherms connected. That's why my phone's named Dynatherms, because when it connects to my car, I feel like it's go time.
There nice. You go.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, dude. You see the key and the star and the fucking whatever that little puzzle was. Like, it was a fucking puzzle. It was weird, too. They would get in and it was like, and like, wait a minute, it's not working, guys. The Voltron, what the fuck's wrong with my key? I don't get it.
So,
sorry, you're not sober. That's what's wrong with you.
right, exactly. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, have you seen the Robot Chicken where there's a Robeast? And there's like these two guys, and a Robeast is like literally murdering the population. And they're like, we need to call Voltron. But it's the car Voltron, and it can't seem to get right.
Yes.
Like, they can't form. And by the time they get there, everyone's dead on the planet. And the two guys that called them were like, where were you? I was like, holy shit, that's the best fucking Robot Chicken scene ever.
You're not wrong.
It is. It's 15 vehicles in the vehicle Voltron Force, which, by the way, we might as well go ahead and segue into because... First off, I was sad that the vehicle Voltron Force did not have interlock. I mean,
it seems to make a whole lot more sense for that.
Two on the nose.
Yeah.
Right.
But I guess that's the more responsible team.
Teams.
True. Mm-hmm. It's the triple team. Yeah.
Okay. So what I did look up is there's the Aqua Fighter, the Turbo Terrain Fighter, and the Strato Fighter. So the Aqua Fighter, they're the only ones that can get in the water.
No.
They're not sure,
but they are the sea team led by this creature that's from an aquatic planet.
I was kind of expecting that answer.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me provide some backstory on Vehicle Voltron. Okay, it won't take long.
Okay,
so Earth is overpopulated, right? Not dying. There's no shortage of gas or food. They're just overpopulated, right? So they send out a team of explorers. And they're like, hey, in about 30, 40 years, this planet's going to get a little crowded. We need to find another world to live on, right? So they go, okay, cool. Let's send out Vehicle Voltron to find a new world to colonize. So they do. And while they're out looking, they come across the Drool Empire, whose race is going to die any day. They're like, holy shit, we're also looking for a new planet to colonize. And, hey, there's this Voltron force that now starts attacking them. There's nothing wrong with Earth other than overpopulation. But yet they start killing this other race of people that really do need it. And that's the fucking story.
Yeah. The real problem was that Voltron's the bad guy in this show. It's not the way they frame it. And they're like, get the fuck out of the way. We came here because we wanted some good real estate. So
we're the Ford Dodge fucking Toyota crew. We're going to come through here and find your planet.
It's Toyota-thon this weekend, motherfucker. Vehicle Voltron Force is coming through. Watch out.
Right. Either you give us a fucking your planet or some good sales on some Toyotas. All right. So let's first talk about, we got the land team. We've got Cliff, the blonde-haired blue eye toaster driver, type 11, whatever the fuck that thing is. It literally looks like a toaster or a vacuum cleaner or maybe a fleshlight. I'm not sure.
A little bit of all of it. Yeah.
A little bit of all of it, right?
It's a radar station, in case you really wanted to know.
Cliff just has a camper that's been outfitted. It's a Winnebago.
It's a, what do they say in Snatch? What do they call it? A caravan? It's a caravan. Periwinkle blue. Yeah, he's got a caravan. So Cliff is an Irish pikey with a caravan. We've got Cinda. It looks like she's a blue alien with a fist car. I'm not quite sure what type 12 is. What do you guys think?
Fister 1.
It's just a fister. Mm. All right, that's Voltron's fist.
Which is it's very unfortunate. It's a very unfortunate name that Linda had to deal with.
Cinda.
Oh, sorry, Cinda.
Oh, Linda.
No, don't get her confused with Lisa. There's Lisa and Cinda.
Sorry, there's 15 of them, man. Give me my bad. But anyway.
Yeah, well, we got type number 13. This is MODOK. He looks like Hunk, but Tanner, more of a bro.
Not that MODOK.
Yeah, not the Marvel MODOK. He's got a A-team van fist. I believe he's the left hand or right hand, but it looks like the A-team van-ish. We've got fucking good old Marvin, who looks like
Speed Racer.
What's that Jughead comic?
Yeah.
Archie.
That's it.
Archie. He looks like Archie, but a dick.
Yeah, we got Marvin and Hutch here, who just driving around their SUVs, which also double as roller skates.
Oh, yeah. Roller skates. Well,
they're
actually,
not SUV. They're all-terrain space vehicles, damn it.
No, actually, this is a Jeep Wagoneer. If you look at Hutch's vehicle, it's a black Jeep Wagoneer.
It does not change what they told me in the show. Okay? You can't take that away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the land team that can fly. Okay, now let's go to the C team first, because these guys can also fly, and we're going to skip the air team.
Oh, yeah.
We've got type number 9 is Shannon. He's a dude with black hair wearing a gold chain that's tied on his turtleneck. Pretty cool.
He's driving a handheld vacuum cleaner.
This is a vacuum cleaner. It's a dustbuster. I believe this is Voltron's butthole. I'm not sure.
He's the bottom part of the right leg.
Uh-huh. His butthole, like I said. That's a butthole.
Yeah. Lisa's driving a pocket rocket.
Yeah, you're right. Lisa has the pocket rocket.
I think Lisa might be in the middle of the pelvis. Right. I don't know. Am I right on that one?
Look at that face she's making, too. She knows it. She's cool with it.
She did. She's like, God damn it, guys. I've got to be the dick. Really? Come on.
No way, dude. I think Lisa's feeling that life. I think Lisa.
I just say, I don't see the attitude you guys are talking about. I'm with Tess on this. And like, Lisa is like, she's like, hell yeah.
Lisa's like T-Rex from Orgasmo.
Right.
I'm here to fuck.
That's right.
It's not even that, dude. She's just like, you know what's going to happen? Every time I see a dude, money shot. Bam, you're done.
Lisa, wait until we say fire.
I'm sorry.
Oops, sorry, I did it again.
My bad. You can just call me Preemie.
Well, then what is Tangor?
The taint.
But what is his vehicle then?
The taint. Yeah, I have opposite sides. It's just...
I think he hides in the back, and he's a turd that pops out sometimes if they need him.
Like, he's the deuce.
Oh, man. I was really hoping they had two dicks. Like, it was just this, like...
Double dick Voltron. That's right.
Double dick Voltron, but he only comes out like blazing sword. They don't have a blazing sword. They have form double dick, and then two dicks come out.
Oh.
Exactly.
It's called the Shocker.
Yep. Then we got, going down a little bit here, we've got Zandy, the red, I don't know if he's an alien or not. They're all wearing like turtlenecks with gold chains. It's kind of douchey, but I mean, I guess going along with this Voltron is kind of douchey.
You know what's scary about what you're saying right now is how close those uniforms are to Star Trek uniforms. I can't even say anything fucked up right now. I just want to cry a little bit.
Yeah, real close. Well, the land team's all the red shirts, though. it's fucked up.
I mean, from the look of their vehicles, I believe it. It seems...
Yeah, right. They're like, you guys, listen, we're going into space to fight monsters, and I'm driving a Bronco, a Toyota.
Wait. Back up. You said space, right? Why the fuck do I got tires? I don't want fucking tires.
There isn't even any air in space. God damn it.
It's all terrain.
Yeah, bullshit. Space is a terrain and it doesn't go there. Right? That's why Marvin and Hutch are so pissed. They're like, fuck this, man. Okay, round it out quickly here. C team, we got Zandy. He's another fucking, I don't know, he's the same exact vehicle as Shannon. Then we got Crick, which not to be confused with Kirk. Because apparently I think Crick is like the black line, but it's a giant, I don't know, spaceship fucking thing. What is that?
Name that because he's a pain in your neck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's always the dick that like won't let them form or like, you know, just like withholds whatever from them.
Shut up, Crick.
I don't know what his weird submarine with an air conditioner strapped to the side of it like Red Knot guy is, but I know it goes in the middle somewhere.
It does. Yeah, this is the taint.
The air cooler keeps you from getting swamp ass. I get it now.
He's the Gold Bond of Voltron?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you know, you get that sweaty taint every so often. That's what that fan's there for, man. It just dries that thing right off.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Blow it out.
That's right.
Been fighting for a while on a swampy-ass planet. They're like, Crick, hurry, turn on the Gold Bond fan. He's like, got you guys. Don't you worry. No swamp ass here. the Roby stops attacking. He's like, what are you doing? What is that? He's like, hold on. My boss, man, they're chasing.
That's kind of weird, man.
He's like, well, this is weird. I feel oddly weird fighting you.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to keep fighting. This is a.
I need an adult.
He's like, you're just jealous. All right, then let's get to the air team. We got Air Team Ginger. She's got the coolest fucking vehicle of the entire thing. It's like a spaceship jet thing.
100% on that one.
Shitty one for in the fight though, because I mean it's center chest. So I mean not even center mass.
Actually,
just center.
Right.
It's front center chest. Like she's basically just a shield.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you get punched,
she's a meat shield.
She catches every hit.
They literally say they inform the entire fucking robot, and then she comes in. She is literally meat shield.
They hate her so much, and they're like, Ginger, you form the chest plate. And she's like, what, guys?
She doesn't get words. She gets no words, though.
She's also she's also a romantic interest with Cliff, who's kind of one of the main leaders of the whole thing. So I think she really is just a tag along. Like, that's why it's just like an addendum to the whole like transformation.
She's the Yoko Ono of fucking Voltron.
Oh man.
He's like, look guys, look, if I'm gonna form Voltron, I gotta bring her along. I'll just make her, you know, some insignificant part. And they're like, put her on the chest. And he's like, well, she'll die. I said, put her on the chest, Cliff.
I said, put her on the chest.
Oh shit.
Oh, God damn it.
She'll die. I said put her on the chest.
Oh, Ginger.
Okay. All right.
I said put her on the chest, Cliff. All right, we got Wolo, who is a rotorless helicopter, which is goddamn useless. I don't know.
He's got a lot of forehead, too, man. Wolo, man.
He's got a huge fucking forehead. We've got Jeff, who's the, I don't know, what the fuck, the spaceship kind of rocket thing. I don't know. It's dumb. We got Chip, which is another rotorless helicopter. Apparently those are big in Voltron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Rocky, who is the suppository that forms the anus again. I have no idea. These things make no sense.
It's like three buttholes on this thing from what you've been saying so far.
There's a lot of buttholes on Voltron.
Deuce, Mega Deuce, Organic Deuce.
Organic Deuce. Oh, my God. The names are just so bad though. Like back in the day with like Japanimation stuff and anime, like they always seemed to use these really weird names and really weird voices for the characters because they were dubbed. And I feel like they were just like, what are some good American names for the American market to be able to relate to these characters? And they're like Ginger, Jip, Chip, Jeff, you know, Rocky, Shannon. But then the aliens are like Wolo, Tangor, Crick. And it's like, okay.
And then they're like, what do Americans like? Dicks and buttholes. Let's put two dicks on it and five buttholes.
Oh, what else are they like? SUVs with big tires. Yeah, they like off-road vehicles. Let's do dicks, buttholes, and vans.
They're going in space, right? Let's see. They need an air team. How about some rockets and jets? Nah, helicopters. Just a bunch of helicopters.
No rotors.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Bunch of helicopters with no rotors. And let's give them a hood ornament with Ginger in it. All right. Well... but that's the land team, air team, and sea team for Voltron. Then I can honestly probably say, unless I'm just not remembering it from when I was a small child, I don't think I ever watched a Vehicle Voltron episode.
Oh,
I know for damn sure I didn't.
Did you watch any, Chris?
I don't remember seeing it as a child. What I remember is the standard confusion of only knowing Lion Voltron, and then at some point my mom bringing home a toy of Vehicle Voltron and just not understanding why the fuck there were no lions, mm-hmm. but it looked familiar. And I didn't even have like a plastic one that was kind of a more standard toy. I had the one that was more like a rubber mold that you could just kind of push them all together, but they wouldn't even really transform any
the
on
fuck?
Their own otherwise.
There was a rubber mold Voltron?
Yeah.
I gotta look that up.
So that was the thing. That's all I kind of knew about it. But at some point when I was an adult, went back and went and found some of them because I just had that thing in the back of my mind that just needed to be satisfied. Like, are you making this up? Or like, what kind of Mandela effect are you suffering from? And then I was like, oh, wait. This was real, but it's 52 episodes, and no, I couldn't. unless Mm-mm. we get fans that demand that we watch all of them.
Hate fans. What?
Yeah. Right. You mean fans like on fans? Oh, fuck. I lost the picture. Hold on. Damn it. Did I close it up? I was going to make a joke about the fans on the Taint of Ultron, and I forgot the guy's name. God damn it. Damn it. That was a missed opportunity. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy.
Holy shit. There is a rubber Voltron.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Rubber Voltron. I do remember these guys. I didn't remember the car one. I think I did have the rubber Lion
Man,
Voltron, but
we
not
had
the car
such
one.
A legit fucking straight from Japan, mm-hmm. made out of metal, put your fucking eye out with these goddamn firing missiles, Voltron. And my mm-hmm. mom was like, yoink, you guys can hurt yourselves. Let me just take that shit away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I've got the Lego Voltron, and I got it like 2 years ago. My wife bought it for me for Christmas. I was so happy. I was ecstatic. But like, I'm afraid to build it. I kind of want to keep it in the box and like not build it. But then again, every part of me is like, dude, build the fucking Lego Voltron. It's gnarly. So I'm not quite sure what to do with it.
Or buy a second one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But mm-hmm. they're like $300 now. You can't find them anywhere.
I hear the words you're saying, but it sounds like somebody needs a budget and needs to save up for some shit.
True. Very true. Well, once I get that, when I get that interlock off my truck. And,
I wasn't ready.
Still want to hear more? Well, you're in luck, because there's plenty more where that came from. Check us out at becausenerd.com or search for us wherever you get your podcast. We'll catch you nerds next time.